Okay. Well, as most of you know, Don and I and a few other folks were not here last Sunday. This was due to receiving an email from Pastor Keith Tusey, who is one of our presbyters or overseers as a church. And again, I mentioned earlier, he's one of the senior leaders of our church's network. I received the email on Tuesday, but I actually didn't see it till Wednesday evening, so there wasn't a lot of time to plan out how I would respond to Pastor Keith's request in the email. I received this request because last fall, just before the Band of Brothers conference, I had went there earlier to attend another meeting, and I joined a group of pastors called the League for the Defense of Christian Pastors. The premise of the league is that if a pastor in his church comes under fire for not compromising the Word of God, and that fire comes to the doorsteps of his church, then those within the league will seek to quickly rally in support of that pastor and his church, which is so needed because much of the church is isolated at times, and we need to be our brother's keeper. We need to be there for one another. And there are some pastors that are, I think probably the majority of them, are a part of this league that's within our network. But this league is not just for our pastors. When I was in that meeting, there were representatives from Focus on the Family. There were representatives from other outside ministries. And there were other pastors. And there really was a sense that there needs to be something strategic that's developing in the body of Christ, because the days are not getting easier to stand up for what the Word of God really says, is it? The days are not getting easier. And so I received this email from Pastor Keith. And I will say this, the reason for Pastor Keith's call to action last week, this is the first time this has happened since I've been a part of the league. The reason for his call to action was not a scenario, I'm going to be honest with you, that I anticipated I would be asked to respond to. I would like to read Pastor Keith's email to you so that you might get a feel of what I experienced as I read this email. For the very first time. So I'm going to read that so you got a feel of what I experienced initially. Of course, my name is addressed to greetings. This is Pastor Keith Tusey from the League. This past week, there was an attack of intimidation on New Beginnings Ministries, a local church in Warsaw, Ohio. Last Sunday, as members were arriving, several women appeared outside the church topless to protest. I think my eyes probably got as big as saucers when I read that, because I didn't even know that that was legal in parts of our nation, other than maybe Las Vegas or something. But there are states that is legal. Shocked me to death. I mean, here we have an indecent exposure laws. This is in retaliation to several members of New Beginnings Ministry picketing a local dance club. So that's what was going on. And then he gave a related news article that you could click on to read. When the local church faces opposition, it is critical that we make a show of unity and stand with one another. These women have promised to show up again this coming Sunday morning service, which was the one that we were asked to go support at. What I am asking is that we come and fill the building this Sunday at New Beginnings Ministry. I encourage you to come and or send some people in your congregation. We will truly show the love and unity of Christ by standing together. Our goal is not to confront the protesters, but to support the church. I encourage you to call Pastor Bill Dunphy, who is the pastor of this church, and ask him questions if you have any. His number is such and such. We are asking you come this Sunday, August 17th, at the August 17th service. The service starts at 10:30 a.m., and the address was given. I have to be honest and say that when I read this email, I had some mixed thoughts and emotions about the situation and the right response that it was to give to Pastor Keith's request. I've never been personally faced with that kind of a situation as a pastor or even honestly as a Christian. And but because, I will say this, because Pastor Keith is one of the people who is our covering as a church, and I know Pastor Keith's heart and how he has wisely guided me through a number of challenging situations as a pastor, I felt I needed to honor Pastor Keith's request. I just seemed in my heart that if he was making this request, even though I didn't understand all that was going on, there was something to it beyond what I fully understood. And I felt there was something I needed to learn that I would not learn unless I went down to Ohio. And since Pastor Keith also requested that I bring some people along, I invited a few people to join us. Again, I didn't have much time to do that. I did this because of Pastor Keith's request also in order to support the church, but I also wanted some others to experience what Dawn and I would be experiencing while we were down there so they could learn from this situation along with us. I want you to know last week was a very challenging week. I mean, from the point that I read that email on, it was a very challenging week. It was a week where I believe God wanted me to experience and learn some things in an environment that I was completely unfamiliar with. And because it was unfamiliar, it wasn't necessarily comfortable at all. It's one of those things you do by faith, not by sight, let me tell you. Now, in my times of prayer this week, even on the days when I wasn't about thinking about what I experienced down there in Ohio, the Lord kept bringing this whole scenario to my mind again and again and again. I mean, there were days, literally, I was out working, thinking about other things, praying, and what I've done is, just because of the way my schedule has worked at work, I will, at my lunch break, I can combine my breaks and my lunch all together for about an hour. And so what I often do is I'll just eat my lunch while I'm working on the go, in and out of the vehicle. I also work for Consumers Energy, if you don't know that, as a meter reader. And take that hour, and I'll just go for a walk, and I'll pray. And I'm not kidding you, there were times this week that I was not even thinking about that. And when I went to prayer, it wasn't very shortly, God was bringing this right to my mind. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? What are you doing? Why does this keep coming back? And it's because I believe he wasn't finished with what he wanted to do in my own heart. And honestly, I believe he wanted me to share with you as a church. I really began to ask the Lord why he was doing this, and he started giving me various insights that I hadn't really considered much before this experience. I had never gone through something like this to even formulate a context or any conclusions about this kind of scenario. So it has been a week of quite a bit of internal wrestling. And as I've been praying this week, I also sensed that the Lord wanted me to lead you through the process that I have journeyed through over this last week and how it impacted me. I believe he also wants me to share some conclusions that I've come to as a result of all that I've experienced. So this morning, the message is going to be a little different from how I normally preach. But my prayer is that by allowing you to share in this journey with me, it will help you to work through some of the questions that a scenario like this would bring to your mind. And so after reading the email that Pastor Keith sent me, I've already shared some of the thoughts that first hit my mind. But after processing through it on Wednesday evening, I sent a copy of the email to Jason and asked him how we could make this happen on such short notice. I told him that because Pastor Keith had made this request, it was on my heart to respond. Jason called me and we began to discuss how he could share in our service on Sunday morning, since I wouldn't be there, and what other arrangements would need to be made so that Dawn and I would be able to go and possibly take a few others with us. I will say it was a blessing to see God provide, And Jason, I just am so grateful for him that he was ready in season and out of season to rise to the occasion. And I'm so grateful to have a leader like that in our church. I am. Next, we sought to invite some people to join us, but we didn't invite too many people because we figured we'd only be able to take about a van load. And Dennis and Jan Thiss joined us, and Kathy Davis joined us, and we went down. I'll tell you, the best part of the whole trip was just the trip. Amen? We enjoyed a lot of great fellowship on the way down, and we also expressed some real meaningful times of prayer together, both for the church that we were headed to and for our church here back home, because you weren't used to having me up and gone. That's never happened since we've been a church together. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's good. I'm glad. That's always good to know for a pastor, let me tell you. The trip was a little over about 5.5 hours, and we weren't able to leave until Saturday evening, so we drove for about 4 hours Saturday night. We stayed in a hotel, and then we drove the rest of the way down Sunday morning. Now, during the week prior to leaving, I went through some different experiences that God used to teach me what I believe He wanted me to learn from this experience. I received some input that encouraged me to avoid participating in what was happening with this church. So that was one of the things that came my way. Then I received some input that urged me to be careful in how we handled the situation. And I'm telling you, I didn't have any agenda in this, so this stuff is just coming on the fly, and I'm just hearing it. And still wrestling, because I've got what Pastor Keith has shared with me too, you know. So you get all these different kinds of input. What do you do with that? Well, you just sit and see God, you know, where's this headed? So the next input that I received was that urgency to be careful how we handled the situation. The input here was that because these people are our brothers and sisters, the belief was we do need to support them. However, going down there came with the caution that if the people who have been picketing the strip club were doing so in a harsh or inappropriate manner, then they shouldn't be surprised that they were receiving the same kind of treatment in return. Okay? So this was input. Therefore, I was encouraged to keep a right spirit and heart in the midst of what we would be doing while we were down there. This ended up being a confirmation for me, I will say, of what God had already been putting in my heart. But that confirmation, I'll tell you, was helpful considering this situation was unlike anything I'd faced. And so one thing I did know from Pastor Keith's email, though, was that we were not going down there to address those who were picketing the church. We were simply going down to support the church itself. And so that's kind of a part of some of the process that I was already going through even before we headed down. Another thing that happened during the week before we left is I called Pastor Keith to ask him about the situation with the church and what his thoughts were about the biblical basis for picketing the strip club. He mentioned two points that I began to wrestle with. The first point that he shared is he encouraged me to read Matthew 25 and focus on how this issue deals with the least of these that are talked about in this passage. Now, I'll tell you, I read the passage, and I'm going, okay, how's he applying this? So I want to read that passage to you. And again, my hope is that as I'm sharing these things this morning, I'm not giving you the punchline right away. I want you to go through as much as you can what I had to go through, because I want you to feel that wrestling, because I didn't have any conclusions. I'm just processing at this point, okay? And so Matthew 25, 31 through 46, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Aren't you glad hell's not prepared for people? God never intended for people to go there. It was for his devil and his angels. But when we go the direction of our own way and turn away from God, that's the only consequence that's left, right? God doesn't want that, though. That's why he wants us to be sharing the good news with people so they can avoid that. Okay? For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do to me. They will go away. Then they will go away to eternal punishment and the righteous under eternal life. Now I'm going to tell you, when I read that passage, I'm like, how does that apply? Because the way the scenario looks, these people are going to this establishment, picketing against these people, and how does that apply to being one of the least of these? You know, I mean, are they clothing them? Are they loving them? Are they providing? Are they doing all these things? So I'm thinking about this, and I'm like going, okay, Pastor Keith, I mean, I know you. I know how you work. You know, you set me up sometimes. Because he knows I'm a leader, so he doesn't just always give me the punchline either. He lets me wrestle. But the thing is, Pastor Keith knew what he meant. I wasn't totally getting it yet. So I'm just going to leave you with that. I knew that much. I'm not kidding you. That was what was going on in my mind. Okay, you told me this passage for a reason. I know this applies somehow, but at this point, I'm not honestly fully clear how. So just let that simmer, because that's what I had to do all the way down to Ohio, is just let it simmer, okay? The second point Pastor Keith made was to ask me a question, which was this. He asked me if there is any place in the Bible where we are instructed to not preach the gospel. Now that shed a little different light on it. Is there any place that the Bible says don't preach the gospel? Now I'm going to get into that a little bit deeper later. But at this point I'm like, there was one particular scenario I thought of. And I'm not going to tell you what that is yet, okay? Because it has an answer to it. But I will say that much. So I wrestled with what Pastor Keith shared with me, but I will tell you that it wasn't until I got down to Ohio that I was able to experience what we did at this church, and I had the opportunity to talk with a pastor. After I had that opportunity, that's when it started to become much more clearer regarding what Pastor Keith had shared with me. So that's another experience I had before we went down. Now here's another one. One of the other things I did before going down is I sought to read a number of different articles that I could find online to see what was being said about the situation. Of course, the majority of what was being reported did not paint the church in a positive light at all. There were a number of statements reported of what the owner and the women who worked at this strip club were saying about the situation. All of the articles I read definitely portrayed the owner and these girls as the victims of the church's harassment. I even found a video clip of a couple of the girls stating how people from the church had called them whores and prostitutes. you can tell why I let the kids go out before I preach this message. Needless to say, that didn't paint a very good picture of this church that we were going down to support, did it? And after reading and hearing this stuff, it again brought mixed thoughts and emotions about what we were heading into. But I kept feeling like I needed to see for myself what this church was like and talk to that pastor and hear what he had to say. I'll tell you what I saw, what I experienced, and what I heard once we got down there. I'll tell you that in a minute, but I first want to finish sharing with you what else I did before going down there. The final thing that I did before going down was I spent a whole evening. I knew I wasn't going to be preaching now Sunday morning, so I shifted gears and I went into the Word. I mean, where else am I going to go, right? So I spent a whole evening searching in the Bible in regards to two major questions that were burning in my heart that just begin to boil up and how they related to this situation. The first question was really the one Pastor Keith asked me. Is there any environment or place where we are instructed to not take the gospel? So I began searching about that question. The other question was, why and when did persecution occur throughout God's church? Right? When did persecution occur? And why did it occur? And I was specifically thinking about this in context of when persecution occurred in the New Testament. So I really began to search. And I'll tell you, it took me through some of the Gospels, but it also took me to the book of Acts, because that's where you see what happens, what unfolded in the church. If you go to the epistles and the letters, Paul's addressing specific issues with the churches, okay? But when you go to the book of Acts, you see what was going on in the missionary journeys of Paul and all that was happening in the church and how they were taking the gospel in and out. So I found myself, I literally went through the whole book of Acts in an evening. I mean, I was really poring over it, just trying to, but I was looking for these answers, okay? And so all of these different things occurred prior to us going down to Ohio. I'm telling you, this was a challenging week. And as I've already stated, the trip down there was actually a blessing because of our fellowship and times of prayer. So what I want to share with you now is what I experienced once I got down there. When we were just around the corner from the church, we missed an alley that the GPS said we were supposed to turn down. And it was really narrow, so I mean, it didn't even look like a road, and that's why I missed it, okay? And so I decided I was going to go to the next block and turn, but once we got to the next block, we could see down a couple of blocks, there were the protesters across the street in front of the church. Well, needless to say, that was not the direction I thought we ought to go, so we turned around and went through the alley that the GPS originally directed us to, so we could avoid the protesters. As we came to the church, they had the back parking lot right behind the church tarped off so that you could avoid being subjected to otherwise things you wouldn't want to be subjected to. And so we pulled up. There was people that were sitting there. They directed us, helped us get in, get us parked, and so on. So we finally got that taken care of. And then we went inside. And as we went inside of the church, I will tell you, I didn't know what to expect, honestly. You know, but then again, so I'm going, well, this is Pastor Keith, and I can't believe Pastor Keith would just be, I know him. He would not support a church a certain way. But yet, all these media reports and all this information, and so, I've got mixed things going on in my mind. We walk in there, and I'm telling you, it was a very friendly atmosphere. The one greeter guy shook her hand. He was also the drummer in their praise team. Very friendly. It just instantly, you did not feel a negative atmosphere at all. And so we went in there, got into the sanctuary, saw Pastor Keith. So I went over. We went over and I introduced some of our church folks to Pastor Keith. Kathy had met him down in Dayton. So after those introductions, we ended up getting our seats. And then a little bit after that, Pastor Keith introduced us to the pastor of the church. And I will tell you, he was extremely appreciative that we had come to support them as a church. And after being introduced, I took a moment to ask the pastor if I could ask him some questions about what was happening. I didn't mess around. I just thought, you know what, let's get right to it. And I figured he could handle it. If he couldn't, that would be a clue something was awry, right? So what was neat is that he was more than open to answering any questions I had. One of the first questions I asked him was about what the ladies on the video had said about some of the people of his church making derogatory remarks to them. What I thought was telling was that he didn't recoil or become defensive at all over my question, but quickly gave me a response. He said that his church does not make derogatory comments to these ladies when they go to reach out to the people at the strip club, and the truth is they really don't have much contact with the ladies because they're usually inside. Now that already began to go, well, that's shifting my impression, because you're thinking they're hammering down these ladies, right? He said when they go to reach out at the strip club, the ladies aren't really who they are targeting when they go there. The people they are targeting on Friday and Saturday nights are the men who come there. However, rather than emphasizing that this is what the church does, he said the media typically portrays the ladies who work there as the victims of what the church does. And they also portray the livelihood of the business owner and his employees as being attacked and maligned. Which is not what their intention, I mean, obviously that would be a outcome, but that's not what they're going there to do. By printing or putting out on the airwaves what these ladies are saying about the members of this church and also what the owner of the strip club is saying, the media portrays the church as being mean-spirited, unchristian, and hypocritical. And I'm telling you, those words are in the articles. However, Pastor Bill told me that what his church is trying to do is appeal to the consciences of the men who come to this club. He also told me that one of the things they do know is that there is a high turnover rate at this business because the ladies really don't get paid that well. Then I asked him what the signs say that they use when they are at the strip club. And not only did he tell me, I asked him to go the extra mile. I asked him, would you write it down? Because I wanted a copy because I thought maybe I needed to be able to communicate that later. And so he wrote them down. He said, here's what our signs say. Remember your wedding vows. Boy, that's really aggressive. That's really attacking. Pornography destroys lives. Any disagreement there? Jesus is the standard. Secondary effects of sexually oriented business. And what they do is they do list some of the effects that can occur because of sexual addictions. Do you see what they're doing? Do you remember an evangelism message where I said we hold up the law to bring conviction? Isn't that part of the gospel process? I'm telling you, I'm really getting a different picture from what all the articles that I read before I went down there. The most controversial one that probably they had would be, smile, your picture is being taken. And you know, Dawn and I kind of thought that was a little interesting, but you can see the point that they were trying to do is that men are not going to want their face published out there that they're doing this. And if you think that's so bad, then you better shake your finger at the government as well as this church, because every sexual offender's face is out there to be found on the internet. So don't let's not be hypocritical here, right? And then also, they have a sign that says, choose this, not this. And the sign has a picture of a church and a family versus a sexually oriented business. Okay? So this is what their signs are like. Now that these ladies have come to protest the church, however, the church is sending women, and I mean specifically women, out to try to reach out to these ladies. Not hostily, but to take the gospel to them. And what's interesting about this is that the article that was written last Saturday in the local newspaper, which, by the way, Pastor Keith referred me to, actually confirms what Pastor Bill was sharing with me. And so what I want to do is I want you to hear that article. And you're going to hear all flavors of what I just described. What's hilarious is it's telling, because it's almost revealing about what I'm saying, Pastor Bill said, but at the same time, you're going to hear the flavor of how the media writes things. Topless protest draws national interest. That's the title. Warsaw. Women supporting the Foxhole North Strip Club were met with honks and shouts of support from residents Sunday as they bared their breasts for their third week of demonstrating against the church that has been protesting them for years. Though the protesters said they've received an abundance of support from area residents who believe the club should be able to operate freely, New Beginnings Ministries also has garnered aid, bringing in members of other churches from Michigan, Pennsylvania, and other Ohio cities to talk to the protesters. Of course, the only people that did that from those churches was some women from Pastor Keith's church. 20 members of Living Hope Church, that's Pastor Keith's church, in Whitney, Pennsylvania, made the trip after reading about the protests in the newspaper. We think these ladies are being exploited, said Beverly Brown, a church member who used to work as a bartender in a topless bar. I really feel strongly about this because I've walked in these ladies' shoes, and later in life they will regret what their past is. Living Hope member Karen Mateo also made the trip to try to help the dancers. I'm not judging her, but neither am I able to watch a child sit in the middle of a road with a car bearing down on her, she said. She was in the illustration, right? God gave us a body that is beautifully made, and it's not for business or someone to make money off of. The church members and protesters spoke passionately about the issue, but in the end, it came down to a fundamental disagreement. This is media. Though the church members believe the dancers are being exploited, the dancers don't agree. This is just what I do to raise my child, dancer Megan Ray said. I don't care what they do for a living, so why do they care about mine? Well, the thing is there again, they didn't go down there to specifically attack that lady. They went down to address what the men are doing. And so their concern is for that lady, but the main motive, see, she's assigning motive to why they're doing this. Their motive is not to destroy somebody's livelihood. Now, that will be an outcome if they're effective with these men. But I'm going to tell you, for that lady's sake, she's headed down a road of destruction. So even though she thinks it's for her good, it's for her destruction, right? There is a way that seems right to a man, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:12, but in the end it leads to death. And so they're doing her a favor. She just doesn't know that. And their intention is not to hurt, not to harm. It's to rescue people out of a mess that they're in. Doesn't that change a little bit of a different view of this? The ongoing clash began almost 9 years ago when New Beginnings first started protesting at the strip club about 9 miles away from the church. Potential clients are scared away, owner Thomas George says. Now, isn't that interesting? So now you're hearing the truth. It's like it leaked out by signs bearing Bible verses or phrases like, remember your wedding vows. isn't this what Pastor Dunphy told me? Keith just laughed when he said that. He says, you can't make truth up like this. The radical step of going topless was needed, he said, after two court injunctions to keep the church protesters away from the club were denied. The protest will go on until New Beginnings stops their protest, George said, or until their point is made. We kind of snickered to ourselves in the van. We said, or until January comes. At least in the format they're protesting now. The Lord said, love the person, hate the sin. But they're not doing that. Now that's an accusation, right? Again, signing motive. And the papers love to print that stuff. Did they let the church share what their true heart and motive is? You're not going to read that in here. At least not in a loving sense. George said, I'm apologizing to the community, but we have had enough hate in this world. We don't need anyone else stirring it up. Having the protesters go topless, New Beginnings Pastor Bill Dunphy said, is holding the church hostage and should not be permitted by the law enforcement supervising the protest, despite Ohio law permitting women to bare their breasts in public. So, Pastor Keith, or he has a little different perspective, obviously. Although dancers at the Foxhole North, George's other club in Zanesville, have previously protested wearing bikini tops in 2010 and 2011, the nudity has forced the church to take additional measures. The church now draws a screen around its parking lot to allow congregants to leave without seeing nudity. And Pastor Bill said, you know, it was really a blessing because he has a guy that's a tent maker in his church. And so he's provided all the tarps that are around their parking lot for them. There is a crosshairs on the community, Dunphy said. Despite his concern for the protests' effect on the community, Dunphy said the church will not give up its protests at the Foxhole. That would be compromise, and there is no compromise. He said, we don't make deals with the devil. Pastor Keith also brought some ladies from the church, like I said, that actually went out to minister to the women who were picketing. I didn't end up getting a chance to talk to any of them after they ministered to some of these ladies, but Kathy did, and so I've asked Kathy to come on up, Kathy, to share with you what one of the ladies said occurred while she was ministering with one of the women. And I think it's telling. And then I'll also have Kathy share some of her personal observations of the church that she noticed.
It was very much an eye-opener, but when I talked to the ladies that talked to the young women outside, their hearts cried. But they, it was very revealing that the love that they had for these ladies outside. One of the ladies asked if she could pray with the girl. And of course she said, no. And she says, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. And the young lady walked away. But then the next lady talked to a younger girl who had a 5-year-old child. And she asked her a question and she said, would you want your 5-year-old exposed to this? Just walking down the street. And the young girl put her head down, and she didn't quite know what to say. And so the lady continued, and she says, you know, morality is something that we need to consider. And do you think toplessness is something that has a morale consequence? And these aren't quite her words, but this is her meaning. And the young girl couldn't respond to that either. And it was, she just kept bringing questions up to this young girl. Would you want your child to be involved? Would you want this and this? And she asked questions. And the young girl just would put her head down. Well, she asked if she could pray with her, and of course, this young lady said no. But a seed was planted, and the lady could tell that what she did by talking to this young girl with love was, it was a good seed that God will convict her heart so that she knows right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was an awesome experience to go down there. As Pastor said, when we left the motel and drove to the church, it was about an hour and a half, and we prayed most of the way. The prayers were so awesome. They just touched my heart. And what a great way to go to some place that you honestly don't know what you're going to run into. Mm-hmm. We had no idea what we were going to see, what we were going to experience. And yet the love in that church was overwhelming. You could just feel it as soon as you walked in. The pastor's message was just tremendous. And I kind of expected a little bit of a message that might say something about morality and just, you know, kind of tearing them down maybe a little bit. None of that. Mm-hmm. Just a word of love, an awesome, awesome message. It was just a church filled with loving people that care about these young girls' lives and about the men that are going into these places that, you know, they need to stand up a measure that their young men can follow, not something that they're going to be ashamed of. Amen. And it was just awesome. Amen. I just totally appreciate being invited.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. I didn't turn it off. Okay. And then I also would like Dennis and Jan to come up. They came with us too. And I just called them and asked them if they just kind of share their perceptions, their kind of their impressions of the church and what was going on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is this on?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Good morning, everybody. It was just a wonderful, awesome experience. And first of all, thank you again for inviting us. Yeah, it was a little mixed feelings because you thought, what are we getting into, Lord? But we're here for you. But like Pastor and Kathy have said, the moment you stepped into the church, New Beginnings, the love, the spirit-filled church that you felt, it was just wonderful. Pastor Bill's sermon was just awesome. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience, a blessing, so rewarding to be part of the fellowship. And one part that I really enjoyed was when we were going to church, that we all was in corporate prayer, and it was almost an hour and a half that we continuously was praying again for LifeGate and for New Beginnings. Amen. I'll pass the mic on to my husband, Dennis. Thank you.
I thought of one thought that crossed my mind was this could have been Hastings or someone in or a church in our area. Warsaw is a population of a little over 13,000, so it's almost like Hastings. I personally thought, well, what if we had a dance club in our neighborhood that was affecting our fathers and the men that are the men of this community? What would we do? So when we were asked to go, like Jan said, I didn't know what to expect, but I thought in my heart I could pray. And the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man and woman availeth much. Mm-hmm. And it's because of what Christ did for us. What Jesus did for us makes us righteous because he took our sin upon himself. So in my heart, I thought, this, because I didn't know what to expect either, I thought, this will be an awesome experience because I've never experienced anything like this. And we didn't quite know how the, you know, what was the church going to be like. And so for me, I had a lot of questions too. And but when we walked into this New Beginnings church, it was a real blessing. And it was a work in progress because they were working. It was a really nice facility, and they were working on their building, and you could see a lot of things were going on within this ministry. And as was mentioned, we had just an awesome service, and pastor's wife led the praise and worship. And you talk about the Spirit of Lord being mm-hmm. with us. It was a blessed time in just worshiping God and singing. And again, the pastor gave an awesome message, but these people reached out. You could just feel a spirit of God's love among brothers and sisters. And it was just nice to be, like when we come here, we're of like heart and mind. And that was the situation in this church. They just received us like we were part of their congregation. The thing that was one of the most amazing things, they had prepared for, because we were their guest. I've never, they fed us after service, they fed us. And when we went in to partake of the meal, I never saw so much food in all my life. food line started this wall, but it went like to the back of the church and across the back. And so really, it was a blessing. You could see the hearts of these people reached out to those that came to support them in love. And how do they show their support? They feed you. But it was a real blessing. And both Jan and myself were very thankful we were invited to participate in this, and in our walk, it just helped us grow closer to God too. So Amen. We thank you.
Amen. Thank you guys for sharing. The other thing that I experienced at the church was, in agreement with them, the Spirit of God in the midst of the worship service. The time of worship was truly focused on Christ. It lifted him up. Pastor Bill preached a spot-on message from John 10, which interestingly is the passage in the Bible that our church's name comes from. So I just thought, isn't that interesting? One thing Pastor Bill emphasized in his message that stood out to me is how Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, always seeks to enter our life through the door of our life. He knocks. He doesn't force his way through. But he also shared that the enemy is the one who seeks to sneak around and find breaches in the wall and cracks and openings. He wants to stay hidden so that you are not detecting him, so that he can come in to destroy your life. And then at the end of the service, Pastor Keith shared that there are only two times when the enemy comes out in the open. One is when he's backed into a corner. The second one is when he wants to exploit a vulnerability that exists in someone's life. He knows there's something going on underneath. And honestly, that's what the enemy does with a pastor who is in sin. Oh, he loves to exploit a pastor who goes into the flesh and moves into sin, because then it affects the entire flock. So those are the times that the enemy comes out in the open. Otherwise, he just stays hidden. Well, I'm going to tell you, the enemy was backed into a corner in Warsaw. And he's coming out swinging. He's coming out swinging at this church. But I will say this, what we experienced at this church versus what I was reading in the media was like night and day. And what this church is trying to do by appealing to the hearts of men in their community is a far cry from what the media has portrayed them to be. And what's interesting is that when you go on the homepage of this church's website, it tells of the impact their ministry has had on the lives of many men they have reached at this strip club. So they're not hiding it. Their website is www.newbeginningsmin, because it stands for New Beginnings Ministries, .com. And this is part of what it says on their homepage right now. For more than 8 years, certain men and women from New Beginnings Ministries has been sharing the gospel outside a local strip club. Due to the presence of these faithful witnesses, many potential patrons of the club have committed or recommitted their lives to Christ and have returned home to their spouses with a pledge to keep their marriage vows sacred, as God intended. For this reason, we continue to stand, proclaiming the truths of God's word, while constantly praying that those lost in sin would see their need for a Savior, repent of their sins, and begin their lives in Christ. What a different picture, huh? That's not what I went down there and had pictured. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I just tell you that I have a much clearer picture now of what Pastor Keith was referring to when he encouraged me to read Matthew 25 and what it says about the least of these? Can I tell you that I have a much clearer picture of what this church is like versus what the media portrayed? In this particular situation, the least of these are the men and wives and families who are being negatively impacted by what God calls sin. That's who they're thinking about. The least of these are also any victims who would be violated by men who are caught up in sexual sin. Come on, folks, let's be honest. Pedophilia, sexual sin, it's driven by pornography and lust, right? Because it starts at the heart level first. The bottom line here really isn't about taking away someone's livelihood. It's about rescuing people from what will destroy their lives, but other people consider to be their livelihood, even though God calls it sin. It's not a church that is trying to destroy people's lives. It's a church that's trying to save people's lives. Isn't that what preaching the gospel is all about? Now this morning I wanted to go in because based on what I experienced this last weekend and from really searching the scriptures during the past week, I've come to some conclusions about taking the gospel into places that might not necessarily be comfortable and may even be controversial. But as I've searched the scriptures, I've found that there is biblical support for taking the gospel even in controversial places. Is that not true? Now, this morning, that's actually another whole message now. So I'm not going to be able to preach it today. I wish I had time, because I want you to see that I'm not basing this on some idea, but on God's word. But I'm going to give you the principles. I'm going to give you a commercial for next Sunday, okay? I want you to hear the principles that have been formulated. One, there is no place where God instructs us not to preach the gospel. Okay? I'm going to tell you this much. There is one time that when I told you there was one possible time, that time is when people resist the gospel. Jesus, when he sent out the 12 and when he sent out the 72 as well, did he not say that go and preach the gospel? But if they will not welcome you and listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and go on. And if you look into both of those passages, what he shows is that there's persecution that comes when that unwelcoming and non-listening is there. Jesus, he did it when he sent the 12 out, and he did it with the 72. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, and they're not going to listen to you. And if they hated you, or if they hate you, it's because they hated me first. And so it was always couched in persecution. And then when you go and you look at in the book of Acts, because like I said, I poured over the book of Acts, there's two examples I'll share with you next week. where Paul went into a city and he experienced persecution. Of course, it was typically from the Jews. And as a result, he did shake his feet, the dust off his feet. The other one says he shook his cloak out and he left. Other places, he didn't get the chance. He was stoned. he was beaten. Okay? But that's the only time that I see where it says don't preach the gospel. It's after you've already tried and they won't listen and they're going to start heaping abuse on you. Don't stay there then. Move on. But let's bring this into the context of this situation with this church. You're saying, well, then they should stop going to the strip club because those people are protesting them. They don't want anything to do with them. Listen, that's not their target audience. It's the men. So the men, they're having an effect on. And the women, I'm going to tell you, or representative, there's one other example I want to give you of this, and that's when Paul went into Ephesus, and he started preaching about false gods. And Demetrius, who was a idol maker, rallied up some of his buddies and said, this dude, what he's preaching, is not doing our business well. And so they created a riot in the city. And it became a mess. Did Paul not preach because of what might happen? That it might be controversial? That it might offend some people? No. He preached the gospel anyway. Did he go in to the idol makers and pick at them? No. But it was going to be an outcome of what he was preaching, was it not? So there is biblical application. And so just because something's controversial or it might draw attention, even though it's negative, I don't see in the scripture where it says we don't go in the right spirit, in the right heart, in the right attitude, and still not take the gospel to people. If it's not done that way, then we are in error and we should stay away. But if it's done in the right spirit, there's no place we shouldn't go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'll get into that more next week. I'll get into those principles because I want you to see it in God's Word. I don't want you to think this is just pastor's opinion. If the Word doesn't support it, it's not worth talking about. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today.